Thank you for listening to this message from Northwest Hills Community Church in Corvallis, Oregon. You can learn more about our church at nwhills.com. Today, youth pastor Gary Jones is continuing a series on prayer as a spiritual discipline. Have you ever felt like your prayer life could use some work? Many of us find it hard to pray or feel stagnant because we don't know what to say to God. So as we dive into a psalm, it'll show that God wants our hearts and He's inviting you to respond to Him in prayer. And at the end of the message, you'll have an extended time to respond. So take your time wherever you are and spend that time in prayer. Also, as part of the Something to Say series, we'll start the message with someone's testimony. We hope you find it encouraging. Now, here's today's message.
Hello, my name is Sean. My wife, Caitlin, and I have both been coming to Northwest Hills for approximately 7 or 8 years. So the question of how following Jesus has changed my life kind of needs a little bit of background in my case. So I grew up in a Catholic church. Going through all of that in life, I felt like God was always there, but I never had, having the personal connection was never really emphasized in the church that I was in. So then going off to college, I kind of wasn't as consistent going to church as I had been growing up because I felt like I was missing something. And then it was when I met my wife, Caitlin, that we started going to church together. She invited me to go with her and just started going to try out the church that she was a part of. And it was something where they were talking about a personal connection. I never had that before. So I'd always been looking for, like, what's my purpose? What is God calling me to do? Where is He leading me to be in this life? What's He wanting me to do? And so then with that personal connection, I was always like, hey, God, are you going to reach out to me today? Like, are you going to talk to me and tell me where you want me? Are you going to show me the door, come down and say, like, this is where I want you? But I wasn't having that for a while. And then I kept, when we moved up here, she went to OSU, junior transferred to OSU. And I came up here, started working after my third knee surgery. And I was just, we were looking around trying to find churches. We found Northwest Hills and we loved the fact that, like, everyone that we met was always, the personal connection portion of Jesus is what we loved. And just like having that relationship. And it was something that I always felt like I was missing, because I was never having that, like, direct God came down and said, do this or go this way. But it was something that I was wanting, so I was still striving and still trying to dig into His Word and trying to follow along and keep that connection strong, so that if He ever had that moment with me, that I could know that it was there. And so I took a job, I started working other jobs, I got promoted, I was going through different jobs and stuff. And so while I was searching for the opportunity that God had put in my life and what His plan for me was, I was presented with the opportunity to ref for high school and below football. So that was something I started doing, and it started teaching me different skills about how to address people in conflict, how to approach different situations with different tacks, different responsibilities, but keeping, like, the level playing field of a game and a situation that all has to go on with that. Fast forward to this last year, I was approached about running for the Albany School Board. They approached me about wanting to run something that I would be able to be a good example for, and they needed someone that would be willing to be outspoken and stand up for what I believed in. And so since July, I've been on the school board and just been using all these skills that I've learned through officiating to handle the stressful situations, deal with the issues that come up and the conflicts that have arisen. And so a couple months ago, I was taking a shower and my wife, Caitlin, was brushing her teeth, and we were just talking about God and life. And so it just hit me while having that conversation that He had been opening doors for me and building the skills and opportunities that I'd have just to be wherever He wanted me at the time that He wanted me there. And I had been waiting for a voice coming down to tell me to be in this spot at this time, when He was really just opening doors all along to put me where He wanted me. And through that whole process of going through different jobs, learning different skills, having the time on my own, and now being in the situation that I'm in with the school board, that I don't know if this is the last step He's got me in, but that personal connection has led me along the whole way without me even realizing that He was directing the path. And I was looking for Him to say, do this, but He was doing the whole thing, just I hadn't seen it yet. So that was just a realization that I had. So I'm thankful to God just for the personal connection that He's shown me and allowed me to grow over the years, and just that that's he's given me the skills that I needed to develop in the roles that he wants me in and where he wants me. So I just say if there's someone like me out there that was searching for where they want to be, where they when they need to be there, just to trust in God and that he's got a plan for you. Search for that personal connection with him, both through prayer and just in the word, and he'll have you where he needs you when he wants you there.
I love that guy. Thank you, Sean, for sharing that. I got to see Sean yesterday. My name is Gary. I'm the youth pastor here, and welcome to Northwest Hills. It's, man, this is a different room than it was last week. It looks like almost every chair is full. And as we heard from Carly, by the way, the girl up here doing announcements did a great job, is Carly Wymore. She's a really good friend. We have daughters that are the same age that hang out all the time. And yeah, she leads a really thriving, cool ministry here called Home, Helping Our Moms Excel. And it is really cool to just see leaders step up, right? I said the acronym right, didn't I? Okay, perfect. It's cool to see leaders step up. And as we talk about the vision, as she shared at the beginning, to love Jesus is to commit to Sunday. And we have a lot of people that are doing that right here. This is part of our vision. And to love Jesus is to practice the disciplines. And we're going to talk about that. That's the message for today. But also to live like Jesus is to serve. And the Son of Man came not to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. And as we have a room this full, and as we're launching three services in 3 weeks, I'm going to give a little challenge here at the beginning that says, if you've been thinking about serving, if you've been praying about serving, and this happens, like last Sunday, I walked around to people. It was the skeleton crew because of the ice and everything. And I took these Orange Connect cards and I said, hey, are you interested in serving? And people said, you know, I've been thinking about this. So I'm going to give an opportunity right now for people to step up and say, hey, I've been coming here for a while. I know I need to get involved. I know I need to serve. We got people that have the orange cards right here. And I want you to raise your hand if you would say, hey, I will join in and serve. And we have a graphic here on screen. I mean, any one of these areas on the board, don't everybody raise your hand at once, okay? But raise them up. There's one right over here. And each one of these areas could use probably 2 to 15 new people jump in. And I also want to acknowledge a couple things. I know there's a lot of people in the room that are already serving. And I know that there's a lot of people that might have even filled one of these out recently. And we're currently in the process of getting back to you and having that conversation and finding the best fit. But I just want to throw out there and say there's a place for everybody to serve. And when you serve, it doesn't just help the church grow and just doesn't serve what needs to happen here on Sunday morning. It also really helps you in your spiritual maturity and your growth. And just to throw out a couple examples, there's a lot of amazing people that serve here. One more round, we can do it again. If you have a friend who you think that you know that needs to serve, raise your hand. If you got a friend that you're like, I'll give this to somebody. I didn't seed the crowd. So, you know, this is real social experiment. But a couple people that serve that I think just do a really beautiful job. Dusty, I can't remember how to say her last name, Bergman, something like that. She was serving coffee yesterday. We had a conference, about 300 people here. And people were walking in there going, man, I'm so thankful that you guys have coffee. Thank you guys for doing this. And somebody came to me and said, hey, the coffee's empty. I was like, go over there and check it out. And she had refilled it. I mean, people that are out here, she's serving behind the scenes. I know she wouldn't want the recognition this morning. There's a guy, Zach Zimmers. You know, if you feel like I can't do everything, but I can do something, he's got some health things that keep him from being able to do maybe every role that he'd want to be able to do. But he comes in every week and he vacuums. And every time I walk by him and go, you know what? That you take away the distraction when people show up and be able to serve behind the scenes that way is such a beautiful thing. And the third person I just wanted to throw out there is Logan Kerr. He's listed in my phone as Jay's friend. You know, it's the company right there, the line, Jay's friend. And he showed up for a mission trip meeting, and Jay was going on the mission trip, and then Logan showed up, and then Jay couldn't make it, and Logan went, and we're on a mission in Mexico. And I just talked to this guy. He's like, man, you have a lot of leadership gifts that I'd love to see you use for the kingdom. And he's like, you know what? I'll do it. I'll serve. And so he's become part of our youth team, our family. And there's tons of people serving here, but yeah. Give it up for those people. Sometimes it It helps to hear the story, so don't be shy. Grab those cards later today. But go ahead and turn to page 453 in your pew Bible or your chair Bible, the church Bible, if you got one there. If you got your own, it's a different page, I'm sure. And I'm going to take a second to get into this, but welcome back, everybody. How did we fare in the ice and the snow of 2024? What's up? Scripture reference? Oh, yeah, if you don't have the pew Bible. Psalm 13. I like the feedback. Keep it coming. hey, I want to see, this will get some hands. Raise your hand if you fell this past week. Man, I did too. And you know what? You're lucky, because you got to practice something called Midwest meditation. It's when you fall and you just kind of lay there for a bit. Just kind of think about life. I got to teach Pastor Josh that I fell, and he's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Hey, man, don't ruin this for me." But in all seriousness, meditation is a great discipline. We're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about the discipline of prayer. And as part of our vision, the spiritual disciplines are practices, ancient practices that we see in the Bible, we read about in the Bible, that Jesus practiced and modeled for us, and they transform our spiritual lives into the character that God has and that He wants us to grow in. And like I said this morning, it's about prayer. And prayer, simply put, is talking with God. If you got the resource, the prayer journal, that's the gray one out in the lobby, you can read today. I think we're on week two or this week because the first week of our sermon series was an intro. But week two, talking with God. And because it's a discipline, it's something you do over and over. It is a practice. It is something you have to put in the work for. And I want to tell you something that I've been doing for a while at home with one of my daughters, with Lou. She's 5 years old. We've been having every night for probably a couple months now, pajama chats. It's just when I'm putting her to bed, I read the Bible, we pray for people, and then I just lay down next to her and look at her, and she looks at me, and we have these talks. And it had to get revised from where it started, because I said, "You can just ask me questions." And so then after a few weeks of that, it was like, "Well, how come there's dark blues and light blues? And if you have bad eyes, like, why do people that have bad eyes wear glasses?" And I'm like, "Well, because it corrects their vision." She's like, "Well, how does it do that?" And I was like, "Well, something about concave and convex." And she's like, "Well, how?" And I was like, "Well, that's just the way God made it, Lou." And she's asking me why birds have noses but they're called beaks. And last night, I said, "Hey, this is why it got revised." I said, "Do you have a question for me?" And last night it was, "Hey, Dad, like, how does our heart keep beating even while we're sleeping?" And I was like, "Well, your brain signals." "Well, you know, of course, how?" It's like, that is a great question that we'll ask a doctor someday. But we're having fun. I mean, it's been a really rich time. And the format is I say, "Hey, you know, we can ask each other a question, or we can tell each other something about ourselves." And so we kind of started off, and I say, "Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?" "You go first, Dad." "Okay." So I tell her something about myself, and it's just been really sweet. And the thing that it's a good intro for prayer is it's just a conversation. We're talking back and forth, and we're not just getting to know each other, but we know each other. I mean, this kid's got my number. She knows what makes me laugh. She knows how to push my buttons. Several years ago, you might have seen the intro for Christmas, and it was my daughter talking about a certain Christmas figure not being real. And so, you know, she knows how to push my buttons, and she's like, "Well, he's real, but Jesus isn't real." She knows Jesus is real. She's just pushing my buttons. And it's funny to try to discipline kids. If you have kids, you'll know what it's like. But when they know how to make you laugh, it's so hard. So you guys can pray for me with that. But I love my kids. I love having conversations with them. And that illustration just brings us to the big question for today, which is very simple but big question. And that's, how is prayer going for you? And if you're taking notes, I know people bring their notebooks. There's also these sweet little notepads under the chairs. But maybe just write a word as a self-assessment. This is how prayer is going for me right now. Think of a word. And if I am to think of a word for how these pajama chats are going with my daughter, you know, I'm probably going to write, "It's exciting, it's fun, it's challenging, it's stretching me." I mean, she's not just asking little questions about all these science questions, but she's asking me, well, you know, how does the Trinity work? And how come Jesus came to the earth as a man and not a woman? And she's just asking all these big questions, and it's great. And, you know, as I'm assessing myself, would I say those same things, those same words to describe my own prayer life? Would you say that to describe your prayer life? And this week I was talking with some Christian leaders. Some were in this church, some were out of this church, just serving in all different roles and areas. And the question I said for them is, how's prayer going for you? And the words that were described, I think, kind of had a common theme. And people talked about, you know, being in a rut. People talked about, you know, it's kind of bland. And I thought about my own prayer life several weeks ago. I've been leaning into this, knowing that we're coming up on prayer. And I just thought, man, I'm comfortable. And because I'm comfortable, I chose that I'm going to fast once a week and just change my daily rhythms, my weekly rhythms, to a way that I am able to dial down and really hear the heart of God and connect with him and be with him. And I'm just telling you, church, like, I don't want my prayers to be stagnant. And so I'm doing something about it. I want to see God move. And I know God's already moving. And so I want to be with him where he is. And I know that I don't grow in the comfort zone. And so I'm choosing to become uncomfortable. But if you're a believer in the room, your prayer life is completely essential in your relationship with God. Yet many of us find it hard to pray. And we don't naturally delight in drawing near to God. We don't naturally delight in just like having the rich time. We need to put in the work. We need to practice the discipline of prayer. And, you know, we know that there's power in prayer. And sometimes we don't pray like we know that there's power in prayer. Can I get an amen on that? I don't know if anybody's with me, but pray without ceasing. You know, it's in the Bible. A lot of times we fail to do it. So the truth that I hope this morning will propel you into this week is a discipline of prayer. This is the truth. God wants your heart. He wants to connect to you, and he's inviting you to be with him. At the end of this message, I hope you have not only a hunger, but a plan of how you're going to meet with God this week. And man, it's okay. Like, I think about being a youth pastor for years, and over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've heard students say, when you ask them how their prayer life's going, I need to pray, what's the word going to be? More. Yeah. Everybody thinks they need to pray more. And if it's not just more, it's better. And I want to remind us all, prayer is not about performance. Like, we're not trying to earn God's pleasure in performing and praying the right way and pleasing him with it all. And it's about us connecting with him and with his heart and understanding we need him and he wants our heart. So John Piper on prayer says, prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. And prayer is the turning away from ourselves to God in the confidence that he will provide the help we need. Prayer humbles us as needy and exalts God as wealthy. So we're going to open up God's word. Would you stand with me as we read Psalm 13? It's a Psalm of David. And we don't have an indication of where it happens in his life, but we do know that it's familiar language that we see him and the other psalmists pray. So let's read this together. Psalm 13, it says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider me and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can grab a seat. So what I'd like to do in the rest of our time is pull out some truths from this psalm, highlight Jesus and how this points towards our need for him, and end with some practical steps of praying through the psalms. Now, many psalms are like this one, and this is a psalm of lament, right? It starts out with a pretty big bummer. It's a psalm of lament. It's just a psalm that's expressing sorrow or pain or confusion or the gray resource that we have. It defines lament as talking to God about what's evil in your life and world. And if you were here with us for this last year and we went through the story of the Bible, you learn in book one, mankind blows it. Like, we break relationship with God And then at the very end, God says that his son's going to come back. He's going to restore everything, and he's going to put all evil in its place for all of time. And all the way in the middle, like, we read about a lot of messiness. And here in the middle of messiness that we also experience in our lives, we have a beautiful book that gives us prayers to pray. It was designed for a lifetime of reading, reflecting, and rereading and praying. And over these chapters bring out this truth. We need him, and he wants our heart. So this psalm, again, it's a psalm of David. It's intended to express the feelings of the people of God and those ever-returning trials that we face. I don't have to tell you guys about trials. If you're already writing down about your prayer life, I mean, maybe that's your trial. But we're going through things in life, and this gives us words to say to God. And this psalm can be separated into three distinct parts, okay? It's 6 verses long. It's 2, 2, and 2. And they are separated into the question of anxiety. Like, this is where I'm at. The cry of prayer, talking to God. And then the song of faith, the response to where God meets David. So the question of anxiety. How long, how long, how long, how long? These are words of anguish. Like at the beginning of the psalm, David is going through it. Is this junk ever going to end in my life? He asks, will you forget me? Will you hide from me? Will I have sorrow? Will my enemy win? And he's complaining to God. I mean, you can write that down. God wants me to complain to him. I know for me personally as a father, I don't do that great with complaint yet. And maybe some of you guys that have kids in here could give me some counsel. And, you know, I know you guys' kids are perfect and they never complain. But if they ever did, you can let me know how to be around that. I'm their youth pastor, so I know. I've been around them. I love them. But God wants me to complain to him. And when my daughter complains to me, the phrase that I just don't have a lot of patience for is, I can't do this. It just grinds me down. I'm sure some of you relate. And so I've tried to teach her when she says, I can't do this. Hey, I understand it's hard. Here's what I want you to say to me as your dad. This is really hard. I need help. Because it kind of explains the situation a little better. Most of the times, I mean, we can say this about ourselves. When we say we can't do something, we probably can. It's just hard and we need help. So for the believer going through something, we need to go to God in prayer, which is what I'm getting at for my daughter. You know, it's like, just ask for help. And we need to ask God for help, which is what happens in the second section of this psalm. And the fact of the matter about lament is, lament itself is no good. Lament that culminates in prayer does something. It connects us with our Father, which leads us to section 2, the cry of prayer. David prays to God like a lawyer here, interrogating, and says, a witness, and demands for an answer. And he says, consider and answer me, God. Like, hey, I need results. I need an answer. I need you to meet with me. And he's afraid, and he's saying, surely God wouldn't let me fall into the hands of the people that hate you. Now, it's a disservice. You know, if you read through verses 1 through 4, it's a disservice to us all if you just stop right there. It is kind of like, and if you were at the apologetics conference, let's see hands for who was at the apologetics conference yesterday. Yeah, one of the terms that Alisa Childers used was God, and it came from a sociologist in 2005, but God being a moralistic therapeutic deism. And what that means is it's a way to describe God of a generation that says, hey, you know, he's good, we should be good people, we should do good things, there's good in the world. But when you have trouble, like, he's someone that can be your Band-Aid. You can go to him like, hey, God, you know, I know we never really talk, but I need your help because, you know, things are hard. And like, please, can you help me? There's no real relationship. And the third part of it, which is part true, is that God just wants us to be happy. God does want us to be happy, but it doesn't come in the whatever way we want it to come. And so when David cries out to God here, it's a disservice to stop reading here, because at the end, when he says, surely you wouldn't let me be alone through all of this, at the end, he also proves and claims and cries out and says, but I know who you are, God. And so the song of faith in verse 5 and the third section of the psalm, David declares, I've trusted in your steadfast love before. And he says, my heart will rejoice in your salvation. It's interesting, if you study the words in this psalm, the words for heart and soul that we read there, in a Hebrew perspective, these things can't be separated from the body. So you got body, mind, and spirit, and they can't be separated. They're all intertwined. And this is definitely rooted in reality. Like for us, and even me yesterday, like I wasn't feeling very good last night. And it affected my thinking, and it affected my feelings. And that's the reality. That's the experience that we go through. And as David is writing this, you know, he's saying whether he's on the brink of death or whatever he's going through physically in this psalm, he's saying, God, like, have you forgotten me? Here's my raw emotions towards you. And that's what Hebrew perspective would look like. But what's interesting is he calls not only on the memory of the past, of God's faithfulness in the past, but he also looks to future deliverance and says, hey, even in the middle of this hardship, I know what you're doing in my life is a saving work. And he bursts into singing praise even before the situation is ended. And I think this is great when we sing on Sunday morning and we can both cry out to God and say, here's where I'm at, God. We can also know who he is and say, here's who you are, and I'm going to praise you in the storm of my life that I'm going through. And it's a great format for prayer. God wants us to express our highs and lows to him, right? Like, it's not just the praises. It's not just the laments. It's both. And David, here in this little format, he mourns about what he's going through. He talks to God about it, and then he praises God. It's incredibly simple and incredibly beautiful. And it's incredibly good news for us that when we read in Psalm 13, and it says, I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. It's great news for us that we see the fullness of that salvation in Jesus. And we can look forward to the whole picture that David couldn't see, but we can, and know that, man, because my soul is saved, I really can go through this trial, because in the end, everything really will be amazing for me if I know Jesus. And the hardships that we're facing, they're really nothing compared to paradise. And the paradise that's awaiting is really more than we can imagine. And so the question, am I coming to God with my heart, can be reworded. How well do I understand my need for Jesus? And how often do I turn my eyes and direct my prayers to him? And prayer itself is impossible without Jesus. The fact of the matter is that God had a relationship with man and they broke it. We broke it. We rebelled. We sinned. We fell away from him. And he sent his son Jesus to restore that. And if we trust Jesus for salvation, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, we can have right relationship with God. And the Bible is full of promises of when we pray, this is how God answers. And it shows us God's heart for us and his response to us. And that just as children, as we talked about last week, we have a privilege of going to him. And when we truly give our heart to God in prayer, we're reminding ourselves of our greater need for him and that we can't do this alone, which is a great truth to propel our Christian lives in more ways than just prayer, in community groups, in serving, and in being part of the bigger vision of the church, the Big C Church. Again, prayer is turning away from ourselves to God in confidence that he'll provide the help we need. And so how do we apply this? What's some application questions that we can ask? I love this first section of the psalm when it talks about anxiety. Everybody say anxiety. Man, it's such an anxious generation. Every study you read, record levels of anxiety and depression. And when it comes to anxiety, we don't just have to wonder. God speaks to us what to do with it. Question for you, number one, are you able to be vulnerable to God about your emotions? He can handle it. We live in a world, and you hear about it in psychology and wherever it's in the movies, that we have endless dialogue of self-talk. And it goes something like this. Oh man, I think I said something weird. I wonder if that person thinks I'm weird. I wonder if they think I'm stupid. Man, I just don't think I'm enough, and I can't do this, and you know, all these people out here have all these great things and I don't. And like, I'm just worried about finances and I'm worried about career. And like, we have all these conversations in our head. I don't know if I'm the only one, but you know, pretty much daily or weekly, I have to remind myself, oh yeah, like this happens. This is life. There's trials. What I want to encourage you to do, stop just talking in your head and just address God and say, hey, God, this happened, I'm going to trust it with you. Hey, God, your shoulders are bigger than mine. I can't handle the weight of this. I need you to meet me right where I'm at. And God will meet us. Paul writes, in a less than perfect scenario, he writes this letter to the Philippians, and he says in chapter 4, verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when it comes to asking for help in hard times, the second thing here, who do I turn to first when I need help, when things are hard? And I know it can be really easy to call up our best friend, to talk to the person that, you know, can really listen to us on all things. But I want to encourage you, talk to God first. Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Church, that's a promise. He's saying, come to me and I will give you rest. So if you've been a believer for a long time, you may be in here and you may be like, man, I've tried prayer. I've prayed so many prayers, and I just feel like I have a boring prayer life. You're not alone. And you know you need to come to Jesus, but you're just kind of like, yeah, it's just not that vibrant conversation. Like, it's not rich, and I want it to be, but I don't know what to pray. There's one scholar in particular that's written on this. He's written several books on spiritual development. I think we have several of them over there on the resource shelf out in the lobby, but it's Donald Whitney, and he says the simple solution to a boring prayer life and saying the same old things about the same old things is when you pray, pray through a passage of Scripture, especially a psalm. And he says to pray the Bible, you simply go through the passage line by line, talking to God about whatever comes to mind as you read the text. So we're going to go back through Psalm 13 and do this, just a tiny example of it. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You know, maybe you're going through something that you feel like is never going to end. God, don't you see me? Like, how long am I going to have to wait for this spouse that I've been praying for to come to you? How long am I going to have to wait for my kids to come back around? God, do I matter? Like, do you see me in this job search that I've been going on forever? Does anyone care? So verse 2, how long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? Lord, how am I going to keep struggling with this day after day? I can't do this. With depression, with anxiety, the grief, it's too much. When are you going to show your face to me and comfort me? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Oh, God, how many years am I going to have to suffer parking in my parking lot and walking to my house and my neighbor's dog barks through the fences every single day and I can't stand it, and it just, every day when I come home from work, it is the worst, that little yappy dog. That's supposed to be lighthearted. Consider and answer me. O Lord my God, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes say, rejoice because I am shaken. God, give me a reason for hope before I run out of it. The enemy has my number and he's coming after me, and I just need you to show up. I need something, please. Give me encouragement because I'm desperate for it. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. God, you know what? After all this is said, I still love you. I know you're for me. I believe the promises in your word. I praise you every day for Jesus. Every day I can praise and say, thank you for a savior. And I'll sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. God, you've blessed me with so much. I'll praise you. So it's not that you're changing the words of Scripture. You know, this isn't your interpretation of the Bible, which matters, but it's your pouring out of your heart using words that God's written as a help. And it should certainly be something. Basically what you're doing, Donald Whitney says, is taking words that originated in the heart and mind of God and circulating them through your heart and mind back to God. By this means, his words become the wings of our prayers. Church, do this every day and you will have a vibrant prayer life. And there is ways to study the Psalms. You can look up Donald Whitney and find different formats that he gives for reading through 5 Psalms a day. But I want to invite the band up. And as we close, I want to tell a story that kind of helps illustrate our heart towards God. And if we are trying to respond in the practice of prayer, it's just something I want you to think about how essential prayer is. I have a friend that I talked to this past week that also has chats with their kids before bed, and they have 3 questions that they ask their kids, and they say, what did you like about today? What was hard about today? And then the 3rd question is there anything you need to confess? And there is different psalms of confession and of lament and of praise and of intercession. But they were having a conversation with one of their kids recently, and they asked them the questions, the first two. And maybe the parent was tired, and maybe they just didn't feel like it. But they walked out of the room, and the kid said, "Hey, wait, Mom, aren't you going to ask the third question?" And she was like, "Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, what is it? Anything? I mean, is there anything you need to confess?" And the kid said, "Yeah, I lied to you this week." And what I think is so beautiful about that is the kid didn't want to leave the moment without keeping connection and saying, "I need you as my parent. And I want not only the connection that we have, but I want the freedom from this." And it illustrates for us what we're talking about this morning, that God needs, God wants our heart, and we need him. And for wherever you're at in your prayer life, I mean, maybe you're coming in here and you have a vibrant prayer life. How is God wanting to connect to you, and how is he wanting to lead you, and how do you need to respond to him? So we're going to have a little time of reflection here as the band plays after I pray for us. And so I want you to just talk to God like a child to their father, and connect with him and tell him how you need him and give him your heart. So let's pray. God, thank you for just your word. Thank you for this psalm of lament. God, that we can just see from it that we need you desperately, and we can go through anxieties. We can turn those towards you in prayer, and then we can still praise you because you're not only just a good God, you are a great God. You can handle everything that's going on in our lives, and you want to reach down and be with us. And for anybody in the room that would say, yeah, that prayer of salvation, that crying out to God and saying, "I'm a sinner, I need a savior, and I don't want to live the life that I'm living. I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to start that relationship." Maybe that's the prayer you need to pray today. But whatever it is, let's spend some time reflecting and going to God in prayer.
Thanks for listening to today's teaching from Northwest Hills Community Church. We hope you find ways to apply the gospel to your life. And be sure to check out our website, nwhills.com, where you'll find ways to engage with us. And if you're able, we'd love to see you at church next Sunday. Thanks again for listening.